John, what do you want to see from this team in 2024?
Well, I want to see progress. I think about this season, and JJ and I have talked about this. I would just tell you the season of evaluation is over. It doesn't mean that we're not evaluating people. I mean, JJ and his team, evaluation is a big part of what they do for a living, right? Pro scouting department, amateur scouting. But we're looking forward right now. And so this isn't about, as painful as it's been, I know you want to talk about 24, but this is an important part of the process, right? And it's certainly more painful than I think we thought it would be, but it's a really important part of the process. And now we kind of know who we are. We know where we are. There's some bright spots, but there's certainly some holes to fill. So it's really about progress and starting to take those steps forward. I would just say, if you think about a year ago, and I know I'm looking back again on you, but we made some important changes, some painful changes, and I really appreciate the way that that JJ took the reins and moved with great urgency. We went out and got the manager we wanted. We had a process, but he was really the guy we wanted, and our process helped him emerge to the top. And so I really feel good about the team that's in charge now, and I think their goals are to kind of deliver us back to where we think we belong, and that's to compete for a championship on behalf of our fans.
JJ, just the other day I'm on with our morning show, and they ask, is the organization in a better place today than it was 1 year ago? And despite what the record says, you look at Reagan's, you look at Nelson Velasquez, what James MacArthur's been doing lately, and the process is in place. My answer was yes. So the question for you is, was the evaluation season a success?
Yeah, clearly the one loss record is not what we expected or will expect moving forward. We need to get better. We need the results our fans care about the most are wins and losses, and we recognize that. So, but when you look behind the curtain and you look at what Q's doing, you look at what Brian Sweeney and the pitching team's doing, what Alex Zumwalt's doing, the processes are in place, and they're going to continue to get tweaked. They're going to get better. It's a staff. The first year they're working together, so they're learning each other. I'm going through a job for the first time at this level, but the processes are in place, and it's not only in the major leagues, but it's also in the minor leagues. We've got to do a better job with our minor league system. We've got to build our farm system again. As John said, we're heavily evaluating our scouting processes and who the people are involved in those processes. So that those things will continue to evolve. But when we reflect on this year, there was a lot of things accomplished, again, behind the curtain that will lead to success in the future on the field in terms of wins and losses.
You know better than I. It's not easy to go from 100 losses to contention in one offseason, not even saying that that's the expectation. What is the number one priority as you prepare for this offseason?
Well, as far as personnel is concerned, first of all, I want to say our major league staff is all going to be in place. We need to give them the opportunity to continue to build out what they're doing. But then you go to evaluate our team, and clearly our pitching is something that's going to have to continue to be addressed. We have some positive things happen as far as our starting pitchers are concerned. Unfortunately, we have a couple guys that just didn't get off the ground this year that we'd like to think will rebound, but we're at a point where we're not going to count on that. We need to recognize that for us to win more games, we got to get people who can pitch right now and pitch at a higher level than we are as a starting staff. And then also our bullpen. Our bullpen clearly needs to be upgraded, and we have some guys that I think will be part of that. But again, we're going to work hard to try to add to that. And then from a position player standpoint, I think there's clearly a core of guys. So now, and we have flexibility. We have a lot of guys that can play multiple positions. So being able to add to our offense, I think we have enough speed. We're gonna be a threat on the bases. We need to drive balls more. We need to slug a little bit more. So however that fits, again, with the versatility that some of the guys have, it's not going to pigeonhole us into saying we need a left fielder, a right fielder, a first baseman. And of course, Vinny's going to be back next year, so that's going to be a big plus as well.
John, pitching, as you know, very expensive. Sluggers are very expensive. And then you go to free agency, it takes it to a whole different level. Is ownership ready to write the type of you have with Mike Minor and Carlos Santana in the past? And as you know, those kind of contracts can be risky. Is ownership willing to write the kind of checks necessary to fill out a rotation in today's free agency landscape?
You know, I would answer that question by saying, no doubt we're going to be ready to do that. I think how we do it, when we do it, and what form, I'll be depending upon a lot of on JJ and his team. For they've got some ideas, but those markets are all going to develop here as this season winds down to a close. I am obviously the addition of Cole Reagans has been tremendous, and really they were high on him, but I would say he exceeded expectations, and that's been a great surprise, right? So to have that guy as somebody we feel like we can depend upon in the rotation is great, you know, to go along with some others. But we certainly need to add, and we got to rebuild the bullpen as well. I've been excited about some of the bright spots. In fact, it was interesting last night's game. I thought Q did a great job, and he brought out the hook early. Went from some guys that maybe didn't have their best stuff, and you know, Marsh got the last guy out in the second. MacArthur came off and cleaned up in a good way, and then Snyder closed it out. So I mean, those are little tidbits, but you know, it can create some hope. But we clearly are going to have to add to that group to have a reliable bullpen.
Yeah, I've mentioned it quite a bit of late, especially over the past month and a half, the job of Q and the rest of the coaching staff of piecemealing this together, whether it's an opener and then you bring in the bulk guy. It's been fun to watch, but JJ's, we talk about acquiring that pitcher to help round out this rotation. You know all about the ups and downs of free agency a lot more than I do. Do you think that is the most likely avenue to acquire that talent, or are you starting with trades?
Well, that avenue is always available. We know that, and really in our minds, there's really three different tiers of free agents. So we're always going to look at that. But I, you know, in our minds, when I say our, I'm talking about our front office. You know, we have to look at what assets we have within our organization, and if we can then turn some assets into a major league player, that's an avenue that I think we absolutely need to look down. You know, that's something that's important. That's part of the process of building a team. And you know, I don't, to answer your question, I don't know how it's going to go. I mean, that's still so early, but we're open to any and all ideas. I mean, we've been able to study the free agent market already for 2 months. You know, if there's a silver lining of not being in a playoff race, you can focus on, you know, the off season and have a little bit more clear path moving into next year. So the free agent market we've been looking at, but then the trade market's just going to be something that'll evolve as seasons end and you start talking to other clubs and figure out what might be available to help us.
Were your and the rest of the front office's processes validated over the course of this season as far as some of those trades that right now appear like big old W's?
Yeah, I really, you know, should compliment our scouting department, R&D. It was a great combination, a collaboration between the two departments. You know, for me, it was a difficult couple days because, sometimes you just don't have agreements on which way to go. But ultimately, you got to make a call. And, you know, Cole is certainly looked to be a very good trade for us. Roni Cabrera was the other piece of that trade. He's done a really nice job in the DSL. I thought we did a really good job really late with the Dodger deal, sending Yarbrough and getting Figueroa and Mann. And then obviously the Velasquez deal. And that was more of what I would call a baseball deal. They're in a pennant race, so they want a bullpen arm. So for them, it was a trade deadline deal. For us, that was trading a reliever for a potential power bat, and we were looking towards the future. We felt like, you know, Jose Quas is a quality pitcher, but we have a better chance to acquire somebody of similar ilk as Jose than we do a potential power bat. And Velasquez has done a great job. So, by and large, you know, I'll compliment our process. I'll compliment our R&D department and our scouting department, how they work together to get the right names in front of myself.
I just always thought you weren't able to hit home runs at Kauffman Stadium, and that's all that Nelson
yeah,
does.
Some guys make this park look small, and he's one of them.
John,
can I add a follow-up on process, just because I think, I mean, I agree with everything JJ just said, right, the results of the deadline. But what I've been impressed by is, well, I guess it's more the process, right? We're talking about the results that were achieved at the trade deadline. But probably one of the big takeaways I had was I walked down to that room a few times. I try not to go down there too much. It's like practicing medicine without a license. But I'm interested in the process. What I was as impressed as anything was how the team, we had deals on the board that didn't happen. And I was really impressed by both, you know, JJ and his team, the willingness to take risk, But then also, as those deals change, right, it was very dynamic, right? The Rangers were, you know, it was Scherzer, and it was, and so guys were disappearing on, you know, in terms of players, and these guys walked away from those deals. So the combination of the willingness to take risk, but also the discipline to not chase deals and walk away, I think that really speaks well to our future and our processes.
Is there another example you can give Royals fans at how this organization has changed in the last calendar year since those moves that you alluded to at the beginning?
In terms of results?
In terms of whatever jumps to the front of your mind as far as...
I think a few things. I think the Aroldis, we kind of go back, you know, Cole Reagan's is the result of really J.J. and his team going out and getting Aroldis Chapman. Yeah. And, you know, he chose to come here. He had other options. And then the other part of that, and this is probably speaks more to process, how our pitching team was able to help him stand up and return to form. Mm-hmm. That created value for us. If we were in a hunt or something, we would have got that value from him staying here. And I think there are other examples like that, certainly on the pitching side and the hitting side as well. I think we've talked about our hitting and structure that's mm-hmm. had some recognition, but I think the new pitching regime is really yielding benefits, and it goes beyond, I think, JJ, what we're seeing at the major league level as well.
It does, and just to give you again another peek behind the curtain, so you know, with MacArthur, you know, the way we are starting to evaluate players who are on the waiver wire, you know, the major league staff is involved in that, and our pitching staff, Brian, Zach Bove, Mitch Stetter, they came to us and said, there's something with MacArthur we think we can help him with. Okay, and that's great. So we acquire him. Yeah, you know, he has a rough first outing in the big leagues, but Brian said it doesn't matter. He's on the right track. He sent him back to AAA. Dane Johnson, our pitching coach, Paul Gibson, they get together, and they give him a plan. And he's clearly getting better. And again, last night was a highlight, but he's gotten better, you know, in his time with us, and that's a great sign. And even Cole Reagans, you know, I will give Texas deserves credit for what they did with him, but Cole also came to us and said, this is what I think I need to do to get better. And then a plan was put in place by Paul Gibson and Brian Sweeney. They're the wins along the way, and when we evaluate our processes, like, it's hard not to – you know, acknowledge that. And, you know, they're the things we've got to continue to do, because pitching is, it's hard to draft and develop and count on every pitcher you draft into your own system. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to acquire others and have reasons to acquire them and get them better. And it's not always going to be the big name guy. They're the guys under the radar that we can, you know, do something with that helps our team win more games.
No doubt. Hard to find pitching. Also hard to find the talent like a Bobby Witt Jr. And I'm interested in how you handle a talent like Bobby moving forward. 4 years left of team control. Arbitration looms in 2025. You obviously can't let a talent like that walk away for nothing. So as you head into his second big league offseason, what's the approach with the player that's on the cusp of a 30-50 campaign?
So, you know, Bobby, excuse me, Bobby's outstanding to watch play. I mean, it's he's fun. There's a lot of things that, having been around the game a lot, that he represents that not all star players represent: the innocence, the energy, his background, his passion for the game. Now we're starting to see some leadership qualities come out in him. So all that stuff is really special, and we've acknowledged that. And yeah, we want to have him long term, you know, and that's a process. It's going to take a little bit of time. It's on the forefront of our minds. We've initiated some initial small discussions, but we do feel like this is something that, you know, should happen in the offseason, where you further discussions, because Bobby's playing. You know, and it's not, we don't feel like it's the right time to put the player under that microscope. But, you know, they know our desires and how much we like him, and he's a special player, and we'll work our butt off to try to keep him here. But it's something that'll happen more in the offseason.
No doubt. I mean, this is a special player, and your comment about trading him later, that's going to be the backup plan. You know, the objective of a special player like that, and I agree with JJ, for a lot of reasons, it's a guy that you know, we'd feel comfortable, you know, trying to get to stay here. You know, he's going to have to believe certain things about the organization. He's going to have confidence in us, and we're going to try to make sure that he does. So that's an important part of how we kind of look at this team, right?
So
now.
It in a market like this, a player that's going to command that type of salary that a guy goes 30-50 is going to command, that works in a market like Kansas City.
Yeah, I don't want to negotiate it here.
Gotcha.
But I think we have to give our best effort to try to keep a young man like that with that kind of talent here in Kansas City. And I'm hopeful that we can get there.
John, I'm curious, not the pressure that you feel, because we know you're a competitor, but I'm curious if you feel the need. Because your philanthropic endeavors in your past speak for themselves. So you don't necessarily need to prove anything to the city or its fan base. And yet, do you feel the need to prove via baseball something to this city?
Yeah, I think this is a performance-based business, right? A high-performance, results-oriented business. And that's really the top priority. You know, the other stuff we talk about is important, right? What we do in the community, securing our future, the ballpark, new ballpark's a part of that. But winning games is really what lifts the rest of it up. So that is the primary focus. And again, I'd go back to... And I know the fans. Look, we're just getting started here. This is a business where there's very little patience, right? I mean, it's just the way it is, and you got to accept that. By the same token, in our role, we have to play the long game, and we have to be urgent. And we're just getting started here. And I really think, we've talked about this before. There's no excuses, right? It doesn't matter whether the pandemic hit or we had a work stoppage. It's all about getting us to where we need to go. And again, I'd go back to this year, and as painful as it's been from an on-the-field perspective, I think we're going to look back and see how important it is in our process, both in terms of the development of the guys that we have, and then, as we just talked about, an improvement in a process improvement throughout the system that, by the way, is continuing. Look, baseball, it's a really interesting business, right? I've started a couple of companies, but this is an entrepreneurial venture in its own right, right? And in baseball, you have to constantly reinvent yourself or you're just not going to keep up, right? So I think I'm really excited about not only some of this young talent we have, my confidence in our leadership, both in JJ and in the dugout, and then, you know, what's going on in the system, but we got to pick up the pace. But no, I think we all have to keep proving ourselves, right? I mean, it doesn't mean I wake up in the morning feeling bad about myself, but I want to do what's best for the team, what's best for the community, and this is a special opportunity here.
How nice has this partnership been? Because it, you know, on the postgame show, I call it the Sherman Piccolo era of Royals baseball.
No, it's great. I was taught probably 10, 12 years ago that there's two relationships that are really important. It's the GM and the ownership relationship, and it's the GM and manager relationship. And I feel really fortunate to have worked, you know, one calendar year now with John. The openness, the discussions we have, the patience, the understanding, the honesty, the transparency has been really good, and it motivates you to keep going. And at the same time with Q, I mean, we're all three of us are very frustrated, and it's been a tough year. It's been a really tough year, but Q has maintained a calmness and an easiness about him that I think has allowed our clubhouse to stay positive, and that's a big thing for young players. So he's done an outstanding job. But those two relationships are really important, and I think we're all motivated by bringing a winning product to our fan base. I mean, that I try to remind myself all the time, this is about our fans. This is about having 35,000 people here every night. It's exciting. We witnessed it 8 years ago. It was awesome. You don't forget it. That's what you wake up to do this job for every day. It's not a selfish thing. It's not a, we got to do this, we got to do that. That's what, this is an entertainment business, and we need to win games. We need to motivate our fans to come out to this ballpark, and that's by scoring at least one more run every night than the other team. And that, we're going to keep that perspective at the forefront of our minds.
How strong is this organization right now?
The organization? Yeah. Well, I feel like it's very strong, but I also feel like, you know, it's all about continuous improvement, right? We can't sit still. The other, I mean, JJ, he's in the middle of both of those relationships, right? He's, you know, so you think about that, owner and then manager. But, you know, JJ has been, He's really open, and I think Q the same way. These are people that are willing, you know, self-evaluation, no big egos. You know, it's really about getting better. It's not about them, and I think that's really what I'm most excited about. You know, in terms of the leadership in the organization, and I hope that permeates throughout the organization as well, because I think ultimately it will translate into, you know, kind of that team first baseball that I think you're starting to see mm-hmm. a little bit more of now with young guys, you know, doing things for the team, self-sacrificing. That's it's another important part of, I think, any team, but I think particularly a small market team.
To piggyback off of what we're seeing from the team down the stretch, JJ, let me know if I'm off on this, but it seems as if the talent here that we're hoping is only going to improve moving forward, it seems as if the relationship between the front office and the coaching staff has grown throughout the season to where the talent on the team and on the bench is more reflective of what they want to use.
Yeah, I think the players, they feel everything. They sense everything. You know, when a clubhouse is good, a lot of it's just the culture that's created by the manager, the front office, the support we get from ownership. And when the culture is bad, players see right through it. There's a reason it goes south. But again, this is something this year, just, you know, observationally, you know, going August 1st or so, had a good conversation with Q. Hey, we've got 60 some games left. We've got to push. We can't let these 60 games we can't allow our players to be thinking about 24. Right. One, they're still trying to prove themselves. They're trying to show us where they belong on this team. Two, it's just a healthy thing to do. You know, they're competitors. They have meaningful games. It didn't matter where we were in the standings, we have meaningful games. But if somebody's not driving that culture, it could easily just pack it in and move on to next year. But again, Q's done a great job, and we're just going to be aware of it and keep pushing along those lines.
Can I follow up on
please.
That? You know, when you asked about the organization, what JJ was just speaking to, you know, we all learn more from adversity than we do from when things are going well. We learn more from failure than success, right? Success is once you get there. It's not easy to get there. This has been a very painful season, right, for all of us. But what I see here is that this is going to be seen and used as a growth opportunity. And I think the fact that you talked about the culture, the fact that the team is still energized, that, you know, this is the kind of year where you could see problems in the clubhouse. And so I that makes me feel really good about the future, and that things are going to certainly improve from here.